it is, the hidden mic. It's so wonderful to be here with those of you that I have seen last time I was here, and those of you that I didn't get to see, and this time, Bill is with me. So I'm so happy. It's such a blessing. James was right. It is a jungle, and a lot of you have been down to that jungle, and sometimes you actually go visit people. You know, our phone number, I think, is probably in your directory. Give us a call if we're in town. Come on by for lunch or something, and we would enjoy that very much, too, wouldn't we?
Yes.
Is your mic on, too? Are you talking?
Yes.
Oh. Well,
Gremlin.
can you help me out here?
Sure.
Will you hold my mic, please?
Sure.
Now, some of you have commented on this beautiful outfit that I have on. And I want you to know that it came from the United Arab Emirates, from when we served there in the Middle East for 8.5 years. And in the United Arab Emirates, I thought I'd show you a little something different. Well, really, all over the Middle East. The male portion of the family would be over here. And the female portion of the family would be over here, from newborns to great-grandparents. And we had the joy so many times of gathering together with the believers. And when the women would go into fellowship, whether they had a chair or a mat, they covered their heads. And that's what these are for. So this is the way that they would come to the Lord, and they would pull these, they would widen these this way. And when they pray, they're on their knees, and they pray with their hands over their faces, with such a sense of humility that you can't help but feel humbled to be with them. And when they do... which it was so delightful to join them. When they do communion, they have a cup that the women pass, and they have a cup that the men pass. And you know, it's really funny. Nobody got sick from anybody else. God has a way. I'm telling you. But so when I walk in L.A., we're right by CSUN, the university. And when I walk anywhere, I can literally wear whatever I want, and no one notices. There's five stores by us. He can be turned off for 2 minutes. I can't stand. That way I won't be offensive, I think. Or maybe I just was. anyway, within two blocks, there's five stores that sell these. And also, if I go across the street or next door, I can listen to them speak Farsi. We don't know Farsi. It's Iranian. If I go just a little bit down, a little further, all you see is Chinese writing on all the signs. So it's, and it goes on, and then all the Vietnamese. Anyway, so it's an experience just to be there, just to walk down the street. And I walk 2 miles from the post office to the office, and I hear so many languages. And sometimes I stop and ask, what are you speaking? And it could be anything from German to Vietnamese to anything else. And so it's quite interesting. We have a huge mission field. And all the blessings that we have to reach out to the children. Wasn't it Stalin who said, give me the children. By the time they're 4, I'll take over the nation? Pretty true, isn't it? So we are just thanking the Lord that we are having the ability to get so many people helping us reach the children. And some of them don't get to hear the gospel anywhere else, except in the Good News Clubs, after school, on the campus. And even Muslim kids come. Mormon kids come. It's quite a great mission field. And I'm so happy to work alongside of Bill and reach into the people's lives and train and teach and travel and sit in traffic and sit in traffic and sit in traffic. We have a lot to talk about while we sit in traffic and sit in traffic. But I'd like to share this with you. This is one thing that you guys might be interested in. As a matter of fact, you signed up for this, didn't you? This is an all-age Bible study. And it's this one is for children. It's geared from preschool all the way up to other people. And it's all age appropriate. That's the word I want, right? So after how many lessons? 12 lessons?
12 lessons.
After 12 lessons, it's a mailbox kind of thing, and you can get online and you can with CEF and it'll come up, and you can actually order this for yourselves or as a church body or for your kids or grandkids. And after 12 completed lessons, you get a beautiful Bible, a beautiful slimline ESV with your name engraved in gold. What a great gift for your grandkids, huh? That's what we do. But Bill's not completed his 12 lessons yet, so he has his old Bible. But in any event, he'll get it done. He doesn't have much to do, you know, so he'll just take his time to do that instead. Don't you? Yeah. Anyway, thank you. It's delightful. I enjoyed so much this morning's singing time to see all of you people up here. It blessed my heart so very, very much.
Just before Debbie goes and sits down, if you would turn around and look at the wall on the very back, on the right-hand side back there. See all those missionaries that are on that wall? There's some really young ones over there on the right and on the top.
Is that us?
That I'm not sure who they are.
Okay, I'll send you a new picture online.
But just to let you know, Debbie and I would like to say more than anything, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your ministry outreach to the world. And as James says, we've been in a number of countries when we worked in the Middle East and in Africa. And it was a blessing seeing how God has blessed in every place that we have gone and allowing us to be able to train people that are still continuing on teaching in those locations. And so we're just thankful to be a part of your ministry. Thank you for your prayers. And you know, just because we're in the United States doesn't mean that we don't need prayers, right? If anything, I think we need more, because it seems like Satan is actively working right here within our own country. And when Debbie and I came back from the Middle East in 2005 and we saw what was going on, we said, we're losing our country. In 2005, we saw that. And so God has allowed us to be able to come and to minister and hopefully equip a lot of little saints that will help them to be able to grow and to be able to go and to serve the Lord faithfully wherever they are in whatever capacity of work they're in. But together, you and us, we just want to say thank you. And when we look at the mission board, we got to meet the majors this time for the first time. That's been a blessing. And Mike and Sandy, we've been longtime friends with. Dale and Ed, we've been longtime friends with. And it's just been a blessing to be able to be a part of the ministry around the world. And right now, our world is in Southern California, where Debbie swore she would never go back to. So you know God is at work.
Oh, you're so wonderful.
Go sit down.
Okay.
Camera. You notice I brought my PowerPoints. I like, can you see okay from right there? Oh, good. Or I'll move it. Before we get started, I'd like to have you join me in prayer. And let's go before the Lord. He is the author of this book. And let's ask his blessing upon the reading and the studying of his word this morning. in his desire to bring about changes in you and me. Because we're all in the process of change, aren't we? Okay, just check in. There was one person here, James, that was willing to change. But let's go before him and ask his blessings upon it. Our dear Heavenly Father God, we come before you this morning to say thank you. Thank you, Father, that you've given your word in our language so that we might be able to understand it. But Lord, we thank you for the fact that you are the God who enables us to be able to understand it. For you are the one who has given it to us. And your delight is that once we respond to it, is to be able to take it to others, that they too might be able to hear the great message of salvation. And Father, I would just pray this morning as we take a look at this particular passage that you would help us to be able to apply it to our own lives first and foremost. And then, Lord, to be able to share it with others. We ask these things now in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, it talks about walking in unity. And I thought, you know, I shared or started to share the other night with one of the groups about unity and the lack of unity. And the one thing that there seems to be growing in the church today is disunity. And yet God's desire and delight is that we would be unified because of the Holy Spirit, correct? And so in chapter 4, it says to walk in unity. And that should encourage us to be able to come together, to be able to work together, to pray together, to minister together, to learn together, to change together, that the world around us would see something different within the body of Christ. And many times that's in third world countries, it's much easier for them to be able to see the difference because they look at believers and the way that they work together, their smiles, the way that they handle situations, and they go, I don't know what they have, but that's what I want. To walk in unity. In chapter 5, it starts and it talks about walking in love. And that's the theme of this conference, is it not? But to walk in love. And the world around us doesn't know that love of God, does it? And God desires us to be able to take his love to a needy people, that they might be able to see. Scott, can I walk in front of you? Is it okay? I'm sorry. But to walk in love. And the world around us, they need to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, do they not? And whose job is it to tell them? Ours. And then mine. So walk in unity, walking in love, walking in light. For he is light, is he not? And all around us, and we're going to take a look this morning. We're going to start looking at a little bit about the darkness. But Jesus is light. And in him is no darkness. I mean, I can't even comprehend that. In fact, so many things that we're going to talk about this morning, I really can't comprehend. But I know that we are to be able to live it and to use it and to do it. And then to walk in wisdom. Not our wisdom. And I love what James said a little bit ago when he was talking about the Hebrews passage and about how good I've been this week before God. Before a holy God, are we truly that way? What are we? It says all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags because of his holiness. And people around us need to be able to see the wisdom, God's wisdom in and through us as we share and help them to be able to see how they can handle the situations that they're living in on a daily basis. And, you know, Paul, in the writing, I love the fact that God allowed Paul to be able to give us word pictures, to be able to understand the love of Christ and how his desire is that each and every one of us would know him better, trust him more, and walk faithfully with our Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll turn there, starting in verse 10. And I love this passage because of the fact that when you look at Paul, he was probably under house arrest at this time, but he had been arrested many times. He had probably been in the presence. He had seen the Roman soldiers continually as he would go about his travels, because it was the Roman Empire that he was living in. And I love it that he uses the word pictures of this particular situation and of the Roman soldier. Now, this morning as we looked at all those pictures, man, I couldn't believe how many representatives of the armed forces. What a blessing to be able to see that. And the faithfulness of the men and women that went before, giving us that freedom. But we're going to take a look at another soldier this morning. But when we start in verse 10, it says, "Finally, brethren." You see, we'd already talked about how we're to walk, how we're to live, how we're to be. And it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." How powerful is God? All powerful. We can say that. How powerful is that? Can't even imagine it, can you? I mean, when you start talking about the attributes of God and who He is, how do you explain Him? He is all powerful. It's always interesting, though, that how we can say that and how, you know, God is powerful in any situation except the problem that I'm facing right now. That's the one that He's not quite as powerful as maybe He could be. Is that right? No. He's all powerful. And what that power is when it's talking about that power, it's talking about the resurrection power. How God raised the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says in Ephesians 2:2. Yeah, how He raised Him from the dead. Paul was looking at the soldiers, but he was realizing one other thing. And that is, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, it talks about the power of the principalities of darkness. And many times, I don't know about you, but many times, especially when we were in some countries, you would go into some countries and you could feel the oppression. You could feel the darkness. I mean, it was just like a cloud and a layer. It actually just, it was overpowering. Because I believe there's satanic strongholds. Can you think of some satanic strongholds? Sometimes it can be countries. Sometimes it can be people. But satanic strongholds. But the picture here is that it's in the heavenly places. Can you see it? Can you fathom what that is? I'm going to run out of time, Jim.
I do everything.
I'm going to have to talk faster. But when you stop and you consider the fact that we have an enemy, don't we? That'll do everything he can to destroy you and me, to make us fail, to be incomplete, to be basically think of ourselves as nothing. But God's desire and delight is that you and I would be in His power, in His strength, not in ours, not in our wisdom, nor our understanding, but in His and His alone. And this enemy, think about it. Number one is, he is not eternal forever and ever. He's created. He's not all powerful, although he does have power. And when you stop and look at these fiery darts, which we're going to take a look at, but we're not going to go into every one of them, as you can tell, because it would take too much time. So you're just going to have to be up to speed. Do your homework, read it. It's all in the book. But the point is that when you stop and take a look, and I know these are really little and you can't read them in the back, I understand. But this isn't an exhaustive one either. But movies, love of the world, bad music, stealing, cheating, jealousy, hatred, lying, disobedience, pride, adultery, you name it. He'll use any trick that he can to cause you and me to be able to stumble and to fall, and it doesn't matter what age we are, from the youngest to the oldest. But I love the fact that Debbie and I are involved in a ministry called Child Evangelism Fellowship because we get to take little children and we get to be able to share the gospel of Christ with them, and then to be able to see them come to Christ, and then to help them to be able to grow, that they might be able to stand against the tricks of the devil, because he's going to do everything he can to destroy them and to take that joy and that change of their lives away from them. And Paul, as he was taking a look, I think, man, God gave him this, okay? It wasn't just of him, I know. But it says, first of all, to take the belt of what? Truth. What is truth? Jesus Christ, the Word. This is true, is it not? From cover to cover? From the index to the maps? Well, God created the land that the maps are on, okay? But the idea behind it, what is it? God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does it say? No man comes unto the Father but by me. There is no way to come to him but through him. Jesus is the only way because he is the truth. I'm going to have to condense this message a little bit. But the whole idea was as Paul was looking at the Roman soldier and he saw that belt of truth, that'd be the first thing. I mean, when I get up, I want to put on my guard. I want to protect myself. It protected his intestines from fighting. You know, if you're cut open right here and your guts are hanging out, it is hard to fight. And the idea was that this apron, because it would be thick leather, and many times they would put strips of metal on it, which would help, you know, when you're in a sword fight or whatever the case may be, it would deflect, or it would help so that you wouldn't have your legs cut out from under you. And Paul looked at that, but he related it to the fact that, you know, here this is, the belt of truth. And I know he was thinking, my God is truth, and in him is all truth. And the father of lies will do everything he can in order to be able to trap us and entrap us. And we got to continue to remember that as you give the truth, that the truth will set people free, doesn't it? Yeah. And yet, we so many times hide the truth within our own lives and we don't share it with others. When we've been commanded to go and to tell the Lord, to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, correct? And so Paul was looking at the soldier and he said, wow. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what is a breastplate guard? The heart. And also the lungs. When you get hit in this area with a sword, you better be quick if you're going to fight, because you're not fighting for very much longer. But that same breastplate of righteousness was also done with the leather, with the metal. Everything they could to protect from the arrows, spears, swords. Because the armor was to protect the warrior. But God is our warrior. He is our protector. And so when Paul was looking at this armament, he's actually looking at who God is. And it's in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Isaiah 64:6, it says, but we are all like unclean things, or unclean rags, filthy rags. I mean, all of our righteousness is nothing compared to God's holiness. And the righteousness guards our heart. His righteousness, it's imputed upon us. It's not our righteousness. I loved it, like again, when James said, you know, here I am. And I think this happens, and I'm like, well, I'm okay. I'm better than he is, or I'm better than she is. Does God say you got to be better than he is or she is? No, what do you have to be? Perfect. Like him. That's exactly right. Why? Because he is the living creator. He's the God of righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the and his and You know, I think sometimes we forget that. God says, look, seek me first and my righteousness. Be like me. Because I am holy. I am righteous. And in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is what allows you and me to be able to go and to share His righteousness with others. When we're living in sin, we can't share righteousness very well, can we? No, not at all. And not only that, but people look at us and they'll go, you're a hypocrite. But I love the fact that as Paul is taking a look at this soldier and using this picture, then it goes on to say, and having your feet with the preparation, shod, okay, having shod your feet, my translation says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, these are little shoes, okay. Now, not, I think the Roman soldier with his shoes, he had special shoes that were made so that, and I think they're made different ways, but sometimes they would take nails and they would put the nails through the soles and out the other end so that they would be able to get traction when they were fighting. They wouldn't lose ground. Other times they would take those off so that they would be able to travel or they would be able to fight. They were always prepared to fight. But the sandals enabled him to be able to go across sharp rocks, be able to go and to pursue the enemy, to do battle. But it says to have shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you know in Romans 10 where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? What is it? How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and how he was buried and rose again? According to the scriptures. That is the gospel message. Who needs to hear it?
Everyone.
Where is that everyone? Doesn't matter if you're in the Philippines. Doesn't matter if you're in LA, Grants Pass, your neighborhood. People need to hear the gospel. And I love what my wife always says. You know, the gospel always makes you mad before it makes you glad. And I thought, that's true, isn't it? How many times do we have people when we share the gospel of Christ and I don't want to hear it? Why? Because it makes them mad. Why? Because they have to take a look at who they are. Sinful man, sinful woman before a holy God. But God is the one who opens the heart. But how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of Christ. Having your feet shod with the preparation. You see, Paul was always prepared, wasn't he? He was always given the gospel. Could you imagine being a soldier tied to Paul? Let me tell you about this. You know, just, wow, what a Bible study. Could you imagine what it was like when they came to know Christ? And then the way that they tell me more, Paul. Tell me more. And isn't that the way that it is when people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the same way with little kids when they come to know the Lord Jesus. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me another story. Why? Because they want to know. They want to hear. The love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news that saves them from their sin. And then it says, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, this shield is a little bit smaller than what they actually were, I believe. From what I've read and studied. I look at the Roman soldier. And the whole idea behind that shield was it protected him. It was heavy. Made out of wood. Covered usually with leather. Metal on the outside of that. They would dip it many times in water. Which would allow arrows, fiery arrows and darts to be put out. They wouldn't burn. But the idea was to be able to protect the soldier. But not just the soldier. Remember that this is a soldier, but he's in the army. Okay? And Paul's looking at this, and I thought, here's, what is it supposed to do? It's supposed to ward off all these arrows when it's bombarded. And it comes over. And it hits. And it's protected. But you know what? As I read about it, it was amazing because soldiers in the Roman army, when they would go into a battle unit and they would come together, it would be shield, 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 shield. Guy in back of me, shield on top of me. Protects him, protects me, protects the guy in back of me. Shield. I was told that they linked together. That was for strength. So that when they went into a group or into a foe, they would be able to be linked. There was no way they were coming through because they were tied together. But on command, they were able to open and jab and come back in and protect. But you know, I thought, what a great picture of faith. Because we are the household of faith, you and I. Are we not? And when we stand together, are we not stronger? In the power of God? It's not our strength. It's not our power. It's who He is in our lives. That these shields were there for one thing, and that was to protect. I always like to liken it of what it must have looked like as they were coming at a group. With the shield above, the shields in front, shields on the sides. And it must have been like a tank. And it was moving forward. And it was almost impossible to stop. And hopefully, when I look at the body of Christ, that's the way that it should be with us. Impossible to stop. Continue to share, continue to go, continue to tell, that God would be glorified in and through it. I'm trying. Does James ever go over? Mercy? Okay. I'll make it quick. But then, taking the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet protect? Head. Once again, you know how head wounds are. Fatal, normally. You're done. If you can get a head kill, go for it. Just a little side note. I sent out an email about a month and a half ago, to those on our mailing, and I asked them to be praying. And I was thinking of this helmet of salvation. I was thinking of the armament. I was thinking of the army soldier. And then I was hearing about ISIS. You've heard a lot about them, right, in the news today. And I'm always amazed because when they give the percentage of how many people or how many men there's only like 30,000 of them. I mean, what is that against the American military? Nothing. But what was so sad was what I heard was these extremists were coming into the villages. And they were going into the villages and they were taking the children. And they would go to each house and they'd take the children out. And they would take them down to the square, down to the center of town, basically. And the parents would come. The email said, please be praying because this is what is happening. And they were taking the children and in view of the parents, they were beheading the children in front of them. And then having the parents then to be able to go on and to live. But the whole point of it's even that I wanted to make in this is these are believers. These are Christians in the northern part of Iraq. These children are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Children. Before they were beheaded, they were given the option. You can reject your Jesus and live. It's your choice. They said not one of them rejected Christ. But died martyrs, children. We need to be praying because we have brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that are suffering persecution. The believers in the churches were suffering persecution even then. And Paul, as he was taking a look at the helmet of salvation, remembering that which he was saved from. Remember his testimony. He was the one who was arresting the people, taking them, putting them in prison, allowing them to be killed. Get the picture? But salvation brought a difference in the person of Paul. And Jesus Christ brings that same difference in each one that believes on him, receives him. They are changed. They are made new. They have new desires, new want-tos, and they can grow in the Lord because now they have the Holy Spirit that indwells them. What a message. We could stop right there. I would hope that that would encourage each one of us to go and share Christ with one person. I remember D.L. Moody made a vow to God. He said, before a day is over, I will witness about you and I will preach the message of salvation or give the message to at least one person. It went on to say that there was one night he crawled into bed. He was already in, bundled down, and realized he hadn't talked to anybody about Christ that day. Remembered his vow, got up out of bed, opened the window and waited until someone walked by. Sir, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Now, that might not be the best witnessing, but the idea was he was faithful in keeping his vow, and he continued to minister before God. Paul did the same thing. But as he took a look at the soldier, what part's missing?
The sword.
The sword. And then it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember in Matthew, please, chapter 4, 1 through 11, where Jesus was tempted by Satan? What happened there? What did he use? The Word. And what happened? It left him. Didn't it? Why? Because he was using the Word. The Word. It's the powers in the Word of God. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, what does it say? The sword is sharper. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is the Word? What does it do? It penetrates straight to the heart of things. Why? Because that's the Word of God. It's that we know the Word of God and that we share the Word of God and that we give the Word of God so that he might know that. What a blessing. The soldier, he's armored up. But it doesn't stop there. You know, it's interesting. We talked in 4 and 5 about walking. That's our faith, our walk, our light. Walking in him. This part says standing. And it goes on to say, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. What are we supposed to do? For who? Who are the saints? Who? People that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who is Ephesians written to? If you look at passage 1, it says, to the saints which are in Ephesus. What are saints? Believers. People that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Chapter 6, I love this because, you see, I told you, being part of Child Evangelism Fellowship, you're always looking for these little nuggets, okay? See, to me, kids are the most important mission field that there is. Because if they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, they have their whole life to give. When you reach old people, or older people, excuse me. I got to be careful, I'm older. I am the people, okay? But the idea there is that what happens, they only have a portion of their life to give. They're both important. But the needy, when you take a look at chapter 6, it says, and here's what Paul wrote, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Who was he writing to? Children. He addressed the people, though, as saints. What are the little ones that come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Saints. Why? Because their faith and their belief is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him and him alone. But Paul, as he went on and sharing the need, praying for one another. In order to pray effectively for one another, we have to be open enough that we share our real needs. And you know what? we're a people that really aren't real open. Not at all. It means being vulnerable, doesn't it? But in order to be able to pray effectively, you need to be able to share the real hurts that are down deep in your heart. Debbie and I have been married 30 years. No, what is that? We've been in the ministry for 30 years. We've been married for 47 years. Almost 48 in May. Okay? But we have 22 grandchildren. I would like it if you would pray for Bethany, one of our grandchildren. If you would pray for Bethany. Because you see, she just claimed that she's a lesbian. And she's done so by choice. It hurts. We've got to continually give her the word so that she can be able to be set free from the lie that she has been told and that she is living in. You know, just because you're a missionary doesn't mean that you don't bleed, doesn't mean that you don't hurt, does not mean that you don't get tempted. All these things, we need your prayers. Because Satan will do everything that he can in order to be able to stop us from the ministry that he has called us, that God has called us to. On the way home last night from the dinner, I was thinking, in Southern California, within our organization, on right now a yearly basis, we're reaching 110,000 children in elementary schools, fairs, and other activities. To kind of give you an idea, I asked Debbie, I said, find out how many people the Coliseum will hold, or the Rose Bowl, because most people know the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl holds 92,524 people, if I remember correctly. We're reaching 110. It wouldn't even, you know, we would need extra seats put down on the field if we had all those children put together. But most of those children come from unchurched homes. Most of those kids come from godless parents that need to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the boys and girls that we reach when we reach them with the gospel of Christ, you know what? They go and they tell. They share Christ with their moms and dads, friends in school, wherever the case may be. But you know, those little kids have an enemy also. And he's going to continually throw those fiery darts. He's going to continually try to take the word of God away from them, the joy of God away from them, the peace of God that only he can bring away from them. But it's God himself as we stand in his armament, praying effectively and allowing God to be able to work through. Would you please continue to pray for Southern California? It has a great need. And you know what? Most of them move up here, so they're going to affect you anyway. So you might as well pray for us down there so that they're changed before they get here. Okay? It's just the way that it is. But we'd like to just once again say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your ministry, taking the word of God to a needy part of the world. And James, it's yours.